God didn't anoint that. So I'd say, well, let me think about something else. And I was praying. I turned my plate down this week. And I said, Lord, I need to hear from you. Because I said, you promised not to make me ashamed. I don't want to make you ashamed, Lord. You promised not to make me ashamed. And God took my mind back to January 2015. He woke me up one Monday morning, and he said, what is power? And I sat up in my bed, and I said, Lord, what is power? And he gave me the first two letters, P-O. And I had to get up, went to my computer. Am I too loud, Elder? I went to my computer, and I looked at W-E-R. But we're going to find out what power is. My mind fell on the Apostle Paul. And let's go to Acts 9, 13 through 20. We know about the life of Paul, how he was on the Damascus Road, how God got his attention, knocked him down, a light shone from heaven, and he heard God. And he said, Lord, who art thou? And God let him know, I am the one you're persecuting. Even though he was persecuting the saints, but he was persecuting God as well. So let's go to where Ananias was. He spoke to Ananias, and he says, then Ananias answered. I have my scripture on down here, but that's fine. That's what I want. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to the saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. When the Lord dealt with Saul on the Damascus Road, he blinded him. And God dealt with him 3 days. He fasted. He didn't eat. And I believe during that time, God was showing him visions, revelations. 17. And Ananias went his way and entered the house. And Ananias had to do 3 things. He had to lay hands on him. And he said, he called him Brother Saul. And the Lord said, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, he has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Spirit. Ananias had to lay hands on him first so he can get his sight. And Acts 17, I like the Passion Translation. It said, Saul, my brother, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me to pray for you so that you might see again and be filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. That's awesome. Overflowing. Because he is a well of water in us. Amen? Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales. And he received his sight at once. And he arose and was baptized. 19 and 20. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Now, right here, it could be that Paul went to Arabia for 3 years. It sounds like he just did it immediately, but they may have been a 3-year period. I'm not sure. I'm not that type of scholar. But we're going to see on his first missionary journey, Saul's name was changed to Paul. Acts 13, 15, and we're going to go through 38 and 39. I hope I'm not rushing too fast. And this is a time, Paul was in a synagogue. He had to be invited to the synagogue. And in the synagogue during that time, they did the Shema. And then they read the prophets, the Old Testament. Acts 13 and 15 says, and after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Paul stood up. He said, therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins, and by him everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses, because God's, Jesus' blood had to be shed. The offering of blood during that time couldn't do anything, the animal's blood. Now we're under dispensation of grace, so Jesus' blood had to be shed. Then Paul the apostle, he was persistent in preaching Jesus Christ's salvation everywhere the Holy Ghost sent him. In Paul's letter, he's talking now to the church of Galatia. I looked up the pronunciation and it says Galatia. So what we're going to just stick with Galatia. Paul at the churches of Galatia know he was called by God to preach the gospel, and it was God, and there was no other God, only God. And he says, and I'm at Galatians 1:1-5, then I'm going to go to 15 and 20 in the New King James Version. Paul, an apostle, not from men, through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, grace to you and peace from God our Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom glory forever and ever. Amen. He was writing to the church of Galatia because the Jews was telling the Gentiles, oh, you have to be circumcised. You have to do what we do. And Paul was letting them know, why are you so easily removed? The God that we preach, you're supposed to be steadfast in that. So he was telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And when it pleased God, I'm at the 15th verse, who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by grace to reveal his son to me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James and the Lord's brother. Now these things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. And Paul was a very, very obedient man of God. Because God, when God dealt with him on the Damascus Road, God showed him all he would have to suffer. He willingly did what the Lord said. 1 Corinthians 9:16, this is the King James Version. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe unto you if I preach. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. He was fervent in what he had to do. He was diligent. He was persistent. He was obedient. Romans 1:16, the New King James Version. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. And we thank God that God's message reaches everyone. Now let us look at the plots to kill Paul and the sufferings Paul had to endure as a chosen vessel of God to preach the gospel message. In Damascus, at Acts 9:23-25, the New King James Version. Now after many days were passed, and the Jews plotted to kill me, but their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill me. Then the disciples took him by night, led him down through the wall in a large basket. And in Jerusalem, Acts 9:29-30, New King James, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists. But they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. Paul was very diligent in what he was doing for God. He was not going to renege. He didn't look back, but he pressed forward because he knew what he had to do. 2 Corinthians 11, 22 through 28. The apostle write about his sufferings, what he had to endure, and the furtherance of the gospel. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily. But his deep concern, he says, my deep concern for all the churches. Paul's life was awesome. For all he went through, he never gave up. For all the beatings, the sufferings, he never gave up. Now let's look at Paul when he was in prison in the Philippian jail. This was really exciting me because as I was thinking about what I had written and I was looking at Sid Roth, and it was a show with a young lady named Anna, and she was talking about offenses, how the offenses, when we hold them, it just messes up the flow of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. It can't flow. So when offenses come, we can't hold them. We just have to forgive them. And that just really, it stuck with me, and it started dealing with me. And she was talking about how when there are things going on in our life, warfare, we don't go to the battlefield. We go to worship. That's where our fight is, because God is going to fight our battle. It's not for us. Our warfare is worship. And let's look at this. Acts 16, 22 through 24. And we're going to do 25 through 26, New King James Version. Then the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes. They were preaching Jesus. And what happened before this, there was a young lady who was speaking, oh, yes, these are the men of God. She was a sorcerer. And because Paul cast that spirit out of her, they got angry. And so they put him in prison. Then the multitude rose up against them. The magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them in prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. What a miserable thing, but they did it joyfully. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains was loose. So I got from this, because this really blessed me, and I hope it's blessing you. While in the Philippian prison, Paul and Silas' hearts rejoice with thankfulness to be counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. Their prayer and their worship was pure from their heart and so powerful that it caused the atmosphere to shift, that all heaven moved and the presence of God. Psalm 16 and 11 talks about the presence of God. Come down, and broke the stronghold of Satan, that every prison door in that prison flew open. Paul told the jailer, don't kill yourself, because they were responsible for their prisoner. Don't kill yourself. We are all here. And to me, that was the kavod glory, that heavy glory that came down because of their worship. The power of God filled the Lord's dungeon, which caused the jailer to ask, what must I do to be saved? God just wowed him. I mean, he wowed that jailer. I mean, he gave him something to think about. And the jailer and his household were saved. The jailer, I don't know how this happened, but the jailer took Paul and Silas home, washed their stripes and fed them and brought them back to prison. So he must have had a very powerful authority. And I'm almost finished. And in my conclusion, from the very beginning on the Damascus Road, Paul humbly became obedient, knowing all he would have to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. Paul was given a vision and more visions later, and revelations in his walk with God and in writing his many epistles. The gospel Paul boldly preached and so willingly suffered for revolutionized and transformed lives. Paul carried such an anointing of God that people were healed from handkerchiefs and aprons that touched Paul and were laid upon the sick and the diseased. The gospel message from the time of the early Christians, from dispensations and from generation to generation to our modern day, still invite all to come to God's banquet table and feast. Psalms 23 and 5 talk about that. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 17. This is Paul's last letter as he admonishes the church and the saints. Rejoice always and pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. I'm sorry, I messed up. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So what is power? Persistent obedience with ever-flowing revelations. May the Lord add a blessing. In Jesus' name.